This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna here, wishing you a Merry Christmas. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Monday, December 25th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray is in with sports, and Morgan Murphy has our holiday editorial. We've got great Christmas music for you, too, friends.
And you got George G. Newton at George G. Newton Realty at your service, Jack boy.
But it's Christmas. You're not going to try to sell houses on Christmas Day.
George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty sells homes, not houses, Jack. I don't mind working on Christmas and Yom Kippur. No, that's another story, but that's why I've come.
Because of Yom Kippur?
That's in October. This time of year is Hanukkah.
Hiya, Lou. Merry Christmas to you.
Happy Hanukkah to you, sir.
But still, nobody's working today. How come you're here, Georgie?
To work, so you guys don't have to.
But we're already here, working.
Yeah, sure, I see that. But as soon as you're done with this program, you guys can leave and I'll take over. George G. Newton is here to help. Yeah, but first, I got to learn how to do this radio thing, you know? So you go ahead, I'll just sort of sit back here and take notes.
But you can't expect to learn what we do in just a few...
Let's face it, our jobs aren't that hard. Go ahead, Jack.
Go ahead. I'm learning already.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Virginia's Club of South Superior. Virginia's Club wishes all servicemen and women a very Merry Christmas and to stop on by. Merry Christmas, Lou.
Merry Christmas, Jack, and good listeners. The Nazi offensive in Western Europe has been brought to a halt. After 9 days of gains by the Germans and retreats by Allied forces, mighty Allied air raids are turning the tide. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup from London.
This is London calling. Horace McDonald, your correspondent. Thousands of Allied warplanes swarmed through the skies today as Christmas brought a break in the bad weather for the third straight day. This unprecedented aerial assault on the German breakthrough has apparently stopped the Nazis cold. Flying fortresses and liberators of the U.S. 8th Air Force were out again, and smaller fighter planes on the continent went to work on the German panzer divisions as well. Dive bombers of the U.S. 9th Air Force were especially active. Quoting an Air Force official here, "The boys are celebrating the same way they did Christmas Eve." That suggests an encore to yesterday's 7,000-plane onslaught against German positions, the greatest air force ever mobilized. This is Horace McDonald in London calling Jacques Mornay on the continent. Come in, France.
This is Paris, France. Jacques Mornay, your reporter. American forces are counterattacking on a 25-mile front into the southern flank of the German lines. The aim is to roll back Nazi General Karl von Rundstedt's bulge into Belgium and Luxembourg. This move has liberated several small towns and villages occupied by the Nazis for the past week. At the western end of this front, American troops recaptured Martelon at the nose of the salient above Luxembourg City. Last reports have fighting 4 miles east of Martelon, proof of Allied advances. German Deutschland radio has suddenly assumed a grave tone, a far cry from its boastful, arrogant jubilation since this offensive began December 16th. They admit increasing fierceness in the southern flank. That's where General George S. Patton is said to have wheeled dominant units of the Third Army into the battle in Luxembourg. But the German forces remain intact and in awesome danger. The Germans are threatening to break out at the River Meuse and continue to attack on Bastogne. We have heard no word from Bastogne for today. In Paris, this is Jacques Mornay, France meeting to the Pacific, come in Pearl Harbor.
This is Pacific Fleet HQ at Pearl, Frank Tremaine, your correspondent. We have reports from General Douglas MacArthur's headquarters in the Philippines. It indicates a great victory in the southern Philippine island of Leyte. American doughboys are picking up Japanese dead by the thousands. In one day's fighting, 2,640 Nips were killed and 28 captured. More than 13,000 Jap soldiers have perished in fighting over the past 8 days. Today, GIs are rapidly closing in the last stronghold of Polopon on northern Lady Island. Yanks of the 77th Division are pressing yet westward toward that port after sealing off the Ormoc corridor. General MacArthur reports resistance weak and sporadic, and the GIs are capturing lots of Jap ammunition, artillery, tanks, and trucks. Action at Mindoro Island in the central Philippines is confined to ineffective Jap Zeros raiding U.S. ground forces. 7 Jap fighters were lost yesterday. Meanwhile, Liberator bombers with fighter escort wiped out 25 Jap planes on the ground at the Grace Park Aerodrome in Manila. That followed an American raid on Clark Field, which knocked out 50 enemy planes out of action on Friday. In a strange contrast, U.S. planes dropped Christmas salutations and candy on liberated Filipinos. Filipino children gathered in front of General MacArthur's headquarters on Christmas Eve and sang carols. Merry Christmas from the Pacific. At Pearl Harbor, this is Frank Tremaine calling Saipan.
This is headquarters, U.S. 21st Bomber Command. Saipan, Mac Johnson here. The big Jap island of Iwo Jima in the Volcano Islands was targeted once again with a heavy bombing raid. Iwo Jima is important because it is on the B-29 route to Tokyo. But there won't be any harassing of our flyboys from that berg. No, sirree, Bob, not for a while. A force of B-29s that took off from here this morning left Iwo in bits and pieces. The island took hundreds of tons of high-explosive bombs, rocking the enemy right where they lay. Major Lewis Riley of Wichita, Kansas, says this Christmas attack leaves Iwo out of commission as a threat to our bombing runs to Japan. Says the good major who commands a B-29 he calls Bouncing Betty. The target was devastated. Our bombs went where they were told to drop them. Lieutenant Marston Westbrook of El Mesa, California, says he didn't see any fires. Quoting the lieutenant, I guess there isn't much left to burn there. Fact is, there was no Nip fighter in the air. This gutsy daylight raid went without opposition. Iwo might just as well have a bullseye on it. Admiral Chester Nimitz announced this is the 18th day in a row liberators have dropped their cookies on Iwo. War Nelly, with the U.S. 21st Bombing Command in Saipan, this is Mac Johnson.
Nazi propaganda chief Paul Joseph Goebbels once again ghosted for the elusive Führer Adolf Hitler. Mr. Goebbels reiterated that Hitler is fine and occupied by high matters of the military. Hitler has not been seen publicly since the attempt on his life last July. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Indeedy doody deedy I have, Lou. We are talking for Virginia's Club in South Superior. She says, to all the soldiers, sailors, and Marines, wax, waves, spars, I guess that's all, and to all the many thousands of men and women in the United States who are working for victory, our very best Christmas wishes and our heartfelt hope that the coming new year will bring complete victory. And besides, we carry all brands of wine, whiskey, and beer at Virginia's Club, South Superior. Lou?
The War Department has not taken Christmas off. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has today's list.
The War Department notified Mr. and Mrs. Elmer Gustafson of Weeks Avenue in Superior that their son has been killed in France. Private First Class Arnold Gustafson was killed December 4th. He'd been fighting with the infantry since September. The 31-year-old enlisted in 1942. He's also survived by one brother, Sergeant Norman Gustafson, also in France, and two sisters. Bayfield County Veterans Service Officer R.L. Schindler got news that a Keystone man died of wounds in the Battle of France. 27-year-old Private First Class Frank Pavlinsky was wounded September 17th, but died of his wounds 3 days later. Private Pavlinsky was born in Ironwood, Michigan, and was drafted in January of 1944. He survived by his wife, Manny Pavlinsky, of Duluth. Mrs. Kenneth Thompson of Drummond has gotten word that her husband is missing in action. First Lieutenant Kenneth Thompson's bomber disappeared on a mission November 28th. Lieutenant Thompson's a bomber pilot under General George Kenney of General MacArthur's Army Air Corps. He has been in the South and Central Pacific war zone since November of 1943. Another Drummond soldier was wounded in action in Germany. Mr. and Mrs. Christ Mellon were notified that their son, Private First Class John Mellon of the 1st Army, was wounded December 9th. Our prayers go to the families of these soldiers and this Christmas Day, Lou.
Certainly. Thanks, Mike. City police report a quiet Christmas. Only two men are in jail, both for waxing too merrily on Christmas Eve. The jailer, Orville Fox, served them the traditional turkey and dressing with all the trimmings. There are two Christmas babies born in Douglas County. The stork delivered girls to Mr. and Mrs. George Cole of Wentworth and Captain and Mrs. Douglas Brown of Superior. Captain Brown is stationed at Fort Knox in Kentucky. Moms and daughters are doing fine, Jack.
Merry Christmas to the Coles and the Browns.
Remember the story last year about how the Christmas family of Superior named their daughters Mary and Carol?
No.
Well, you talked about it, made a wisecrack even.
Really? I've got so much information in my head, I have to forget stuff so that I have room for new things.
Well, anyway, Mr. and Mrs. Christmas had another daughter this fall, so celebrating her first Christmas is Joy Christmas. And that's the news, Jack.
Remarkable. I mean, just remarkable. How does he do that?
Well, that's our Lou. That's our Lou. Remarkable is his middle name, Georgie.
Maybe I should learn your job. I mean, news reporting is clearly more difficult.
Very perceptive of you, George.
I beg to differ. You can teach reporting, but you can't teach wit. Now let's check our forecast for this Christmas Day, 1944. Very cold tonight and tomorrow. I'm talking about cold. Brr. Tonight's low is expected to be 20 below zero, with a high tomorrow of 2 below. Holy smokes. Poor old Santa had to bundle up, that's for sure. It's Christmas music time, friends. This is brand new from Judy Garland, and have yourself a merry little Christmas on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself
Judy Garland, and have yourself a merry little Christmas on station KUWS.
Yep, I can do that. Kind of like showing a house.
But easier.
Hey, 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 it's Christmas, you guys. It's not nice to give ribbings on Christmas.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
What do you mean, who's there? It's me, Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Rapley.
That is not a funny knock-knock joke.
I'll see.
Well, the missus made me take a hike after our big Christmas dinner, so I thought I'd mosey by.
Well, I'm here to help the boys so they can go home right after their show. I'll stick around and do stuff. Maybe learn to do what Jack Boy does.
Jack who? Oh, you mean McCorkle? Pardon me, guys, but I can do his job in a heartbeat.
Jack Boy McCorkle is feeling pretty unappreciated today, so go ahead, Colonel.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Hey, here, play the next number.
The boss might not like this.
Oh, but the listeners might get a kick out of it.
All right. Attention, people, fall in. This is the Colonel speaking.
Remember, be personable.
I am personable.
Not bull, able.
Friendly-like, you know what I mean? You know, Christmas and stuff.
You mean, smile?
Take it slowly and work up to a smile.
No, you don't want to break your face.
Okay, all right, here goes. Attention, people. That is.
This is friendly?
At least everyone's not at attention anymore.
This is probably a bunch of noise since McCorkle picked it out, but this is Bing. Wait a sec, what kind of name is Bing?
He's got a point.
I guess I never thought about that before.
Bing Crosby and White Christmas, right here on the radio. Sounds like a slacker name to me. I
think he needs more work on the friendly part.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. The treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Be well.
Boy, that was Bing Crosby and White Christmas. Now, see, how hard was that, McCorkle?
Very good, Colonel. Very good. A little exercise of the facial muscles, and maybe you could even crack a smile.
Let me introduce Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy with today's editorial. Merry Christmas, sir.
You've got quite a crew in here for a holiday.
We're people magnets.
We also don't lock our doors.
Throughout the world today, Americans are once again celebrating Christmas, some in their own homes and others before altars in strange lands. For a little time, their anxiety or loneliness will be crowded out by the love and fellowship which Christmas always kindles. What has been elusive through the centuries, perhaps now more than ever in history, are those words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Today, the struggle is not symbolic, but literal, for the Christian world is battling cruel and pagan enemies whose goal it is to destroy peace on our planet. Those enemies would substitute goodwill for slavery of the body and spirit with something called the New Order. The wonder of it is not that the Christian world has failed, but that it is still bravely trying to fulfill that blessing. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Lou?
That's wonderful.
I think Raffy's crying.
I'm not.
Stick around for coffee, if you like, Mr. Murphy.
I've got the next record ready, Colonel.
Right.
All right,
attention, people. As you were. This is Elizabeth Schumann and Herbie Dawson, one of the Colonel's favorites. Coming through, Carol, on the Newton and Raffy Show. Sounds like somebody should be dragging a casket around here.
Hey, come on.
That's some Coventry Carol by Elizabeth Schumann and Herbie Dawson. You know, trying to be nice can be exhausting.
Wait till you see what's next, buddy. You get to introduce Rapid Ray Paulson.
Something very bad could happen, but I'm not sure what.
You want me to say what now and who?
He's our sports guy. Just say, here's Rapid Ray Paulson. He won't come out of his box unless you do it just like that.
Well,
You gotta be ready for that.
Here's Rapid Ray Paulson. Ouch, that hurt.
Hiya, Jake. What the heck? You're not Jake. And how come you said ouch?
I just injured my tongue, that's why.
All righty then, fans of the sporting news. Merry Christmas. National Football League Commissioner Elmer Layden says he's willing to shut down the 1945 season next year if it'll help speed the war to victory. And the president of the newly organized United States Football League, Harold Redgrange, agrees. The increased demand for drafting able-bodied men means re-examining 4F football players. Mm-hmm. National Football League champion Green Bay Packers coach Curly Lambeau says his club will cooperate with the new draft plans. Coach Lambeau doubts it'll hurt the Packers unless they dramatically lower physical standards for the military. The Packers team is made up of men discharged from the service, men too old for the draft, or men who are physically judged to be 4F. Hey, guys, we could be Packers. On the pugilism circuit, Sugar Ray Robinson offered new evidence that he's the uncrowned king of the welterweights. The Harlem Negro scored a 7-round TKO over New England welterweight champ Georgie Martin of Boston. And just for our guest, Morgan Murphy, in the Evening Telegram Bowling League, the editorial team is in first place, led by Bill Sleeman's 185 and Clough Gates' 151 averages. The ad men are second, followed by the printers. Now, this is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Right, Colonel?
You people sure talk funny here.
Speaking of which, George will get to do a little news next.
You don't say. Hey, this is great.
Okay, Colonel. You've got the honors. Remember... Be nice.
And don't clear your throat first.
Jeez, touchy bunch. To celebrate the birth of Christ, this is George Thill.
Thill?
Thill. And, holy cow, it might be night.
Oh.
George Thill with a wonderful rendition of O Holy Night on station KUWS. The colonel has given up, even though you did sound kind of nice that last time.
I'm sorry, McCorkle. I can't do this. I gotta be me.
Yeah, well, because nobody else will be you.
Now, Lou? Now?
Now.
We have one more wireless news report from overseas. This is Stan Turner to end our Christmas program.
This is New York. Stan Turner reporting. America's fourth wartime Christmas finds the nation in a somber mood. News of the European Western Front is good today. People were heartened to hear that the German advance has been halted, at least for now. Around the world, America's armed forces celebrated this holy day, if they weren't occupied with fighting, that is. Some of our men and women in service have made friends in allied countries. In newly liberated countries, GIs played Santa Claus to hungry, frightened children of war-torn villages. King Håkon of Norway broadcast to his country from London Christmas Eve. He hopes for an early victory and peace by next Christmas. He said all he could offer his people is faith and confidence in the future. Quoting now, "We shall once again celebrate Christmas together." President Roosevelt and Pope Pius XII prayed for a lasting peace once this carnage is finally over. The pontiff celebrated Mass in St. Peter's, and it marked the first time in 75 years that any pope had celebrated a public Christmas Eve midnight Mass. 100,000 people thronged the great cathedral. The president's message was broadcast around the world to the armed forces. His comments came after the annual ceremony of lighting the White House Christmas tree. Quoting Mr. Roosevelt now, "We cannot say when our victory will come. Our enemies still fight fanatically. They still have reserves of men and military power, but they know that they and their evil works are doomed. We may hasten the day of that doom if we here at home continue to do our full share. We pray that until that day comes, God protects our gallant men and women in the uniform of the United Nations." Unquote. And in Bethlehem, Manger Square was packed tight with men in uniform. They looked on as the miracle of the ages was reenacted, the miracle that will save mankind from itself. In New York, this is Stan Turner, and Merry Christmas.
And that's the news this Christmas Eve.
Nice job, George.
Maybe you could stand in for me during Hanukkah.
I'm not very good at selling houses.
I'm just kidding. Bye-bye now.
Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Al Katz, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.